Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16. Some people brought their children to Jesus so he could bless them by placing his hands on them. But his disciples told the people to stop bothering him. When Jesus saw this, he became angry and said, "Let the children come to me. Don't try to stop them. People who are like these little children belong to the kingdom of God. I promise you that you cannot get into God's kingdom unless you accept it the way a child does." Then Jesus took the children in his arms and blessed them by placing his hands on them.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be here together tonight to sit under your word, to worship and praise you. And Lord, we also pray that our hearts will be softened toward your word tonight, that we will respond in faith and trust in you and live lives which bring honour and glory to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wanted to ask the question that I think this passage, which was so helpfully acted out for us then, asks us tonight, which is, what makes someone stand out as awesome or fantastic or great or significant? You know, I remember at school, and I don't know if you guys had this experience, so it might be different, but we would have an awards night, and then we had to go to another school because we couldn't all fit in our school hall. And you had to wear your uniform, which was annoying because it was a weeknight. And then we'd go to the school for the awards night, and I could guarantee that I would go to the awards night a little bit hopeful and come home not as happy and never get an award. And the kids who always seem to get the awards are the kids who are either really, really smart at maths and English or fantastic at sport. And the rest of us would sit there and go home with nothing. And so, you know, early on you realise, oh, okay, so the kids that are significant, either good at sport or good academically. And then you join the workforce and then you realise, oh, the bosses, and people who get to be bosses, they're the ones who are significant and important and get paid more and get to boss you around a bit and all that sort of stuff. And then you become a little bit older and then you say, oh, it's the people who get to live at the beach with the big house and the car, you know, that sort of stuff. There's what our society thinks is significant or stands out as important, those sorts of things. And tonight we're going to be thinking through those things. What does it mean to be significant? What does God actually think? Who does God think is significant? And you might have had a big clue from the play and the Bible reading so far. So we're going to be looking at that tonight. And it's a short talk, so don't be surprised when I pray at the end and it's only halfway through. So tonight I think one of the things I wanted to share with you is what it's been like for me being part of Compassion. I've been part of Compassion for 14 years. My wife and I sponsored kids before I got to work at Compassion, and I thought, what a great opportunity to go and share with other people about how awesome I think the ministry is. And part of my work has been going to different countries to see the work on the ground. And one country I got to visit was the Philippines. And while we were there, we got to meet a family. Their daughter, they had two kids, and their daughter was in the Compassion program. And their community was in the city. It was we would call it a slum community. And it's hard to describe exactly what it's like, but basically every home was sort of like your garden shed. But your garden shed is probably better than most of the structures. And then there was hundreds and hundreds of these homes right next to each other, all sharing walls. But it wasn't just single story, it was two story. So they'd have these two story sheds, and there'd be a family upstairs and there'd be a family downstairs, and pretty awful. Actually, one of the things that really stood out to me, it was a really cute moment, but one that's really stood out to me about what poverty is like, is that when it started raining at one stage, one of the kids sitting on the back of a car got the shampoo out and started washing their hair. And I realised, that's weird. I've never seen that in Australia, but that's fresh water, free and flowing. They had no taps in their home, that sort of stuff. And so anyway, we were in this community, got to go inside the home of this family, and the dad was sharing that his job is casual work. Whenever he gets work, every day he'll go down to the docks. The ships would come in, they needed all their heavy stuff offloaded. He and hundreds of other men would stand there on the dock and hopefully get chosen for work for the day. And if he did, he'd go get work and get paid. If he didn't get chosen, he'd go home with nothing. And he was explaining how difficult life is for him. His education was very minimal, so that was pretty much all the only work he could get. He loved his kids. He loved his wife. He didn't want that for his family, but that was his reality. And we're standing inside his room, their home, the one room, and their house happened to be behind all the others and underneath the others. So they had no windows. It was pitch black other than one light. And the humidity was terrible. It was awful. We were just sweating and sweating. And then you could hear the thunder in the background and it started to rain. And I was like, oh, beauty, relief, finally. But when it rains, you don't get relief. You just get more. The humidity just goes up. The heat doesn't change. And then we saw the water coming in through the roof and then running over the kids' bunks, all over their mattresses. And that was just, it was awful to see that as a dad. I was just, how do you live like that? Are these families somehow less important to God because of their situation that they find themselves in? Are they less important because, you know, they don't have great jobs? Are we more important because we earn more money and we've had a better education and we have bigger houses with air conditioning and that sort of thing? How do we measure our worth? Because so often our world says that's how you measure your worth, is what you have and what you can earn and how intelligent you might be. But Mark 10 pushes us to ask a similar question. Who is significant? What makes someone significant? Jesus tells us who makes and what makes someone significant. So we're going to have a look at that passage there together. So in verse 13, and we saw it in the place, some people brought their children to Jesus so he could bless them by placing his hands on them. So these are parents who have heard Jesus. They're excited. They want their children to come to him and be blessed by him. And the disciples' response was a little bit like what happened to me at morning tea when I was a kid at church. Not all the people at my church were like this, just the people who did the morning tea for some reason. So we used to get lemon cordial and packet biscuits. And you had to sort of run out of church to get to the morning tea. And they served the lemon cordial in a styrofoam cup. You know, you remember those? In the olden days where you're allowed to have styrofoam. And we would get the lemon cordial and you try and get three or four Nice biscuits because they have the most sugar on them. And then you bite the bottom of the cup and you drink your cordial like that. And then you'd get in trouble, no doubt, from the parents. They're like the people who ran the drinks. There's always something for kids. Like, don't do that. You're not allowed to have that. If an adult came and had four biscuits, that's fine. But kids, you're not allowed to do that. And you know, at a barbecue when there's the kids' table, the adults' table, because adult stuff is important. We've got important things to talk about. It's serious. Kids, we love you, but there's the kids' table over there. And sometimes that can be like that in society, right? And particularly there when the disciples, as you saw, as the disciple came up, they know Jesus is doing something important. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's sharing about the kingdom of God with the adults who are listening. And they're thinking, okay, we're doing something good here. We're stopping the kids from disrupting Jesus. But Jesus' response obviously shows us who is significant to him. And Jesus' response in verse 14 there, when Jesus saw this, he became angry. And Jesus doesn't become angry that often. He becomes angry with his own disciples. And he said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't try to stop them. People who are like these little children belong to the kingdom of God." So Jesus doesn't just allow the kids to be there. He actually insists that the kids be there. He welcomes them, and then we see he blesses them, and he uses them to teach the disciples and us something about God's kingdom and who he values. He says there in verse 15, "I promise you that you cannot get into God's kingdom unless you accept it in the way a child does." See, children don't come with, you know, all the trophies on their necks or a great resume or a big wallet full of cash or something like that. They just come before Jesus, trusting in him, looking to be blessed by him. And that's the posture that God wants for all of us, for all people, just to come to him. to trust in Jesus, to follow him. And we'll see, you know, John 3:16, right? It's one of the greatest Bible verses, that God loved kids so much, and all people, but God loved them so much that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, statistically, 30% of the world are under 18. So that's currently 2.4 billion children. That's a lot of kids. And God loves each one of them so much that he sent his one and only son for them, so that they and us and adults as well might believe in him and trust and have eternal life with him. And so it's a great reminder for me personally, and hopefully for you too today, that God loves kids, that he wants us to love children, to bring them to him, and he wants us to respond to him like that too, as children who just come before him, sit before him, trust him, and walk with him. But the second thing that we see as we read our Bibles is that God actually has a heart not only for children, but he also has a heart for the vulnerable as well. And we see that all throughout the Bible. This God regularly talks about his warm, tender heart toward the needy. Psalm 82, it says, God says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed." God repeatedly, all the way through the Old Testament, shows his heart for adults and children who are vulnerable and overlooked. And he calls his people, us, to have that same heart for them as well. James puts it clearly. He says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." So they're precious. The vulnerable, the children who, without parents, children who are living in poverty, are precious to God. And so what does that mean for us? I guess there's two things that we can see today. Firstly, children are precious to God. God loved the world so much that he sent his son for them. He encourages them to come to him. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." He welcomes them. He blesses them. He loves them. He welcomes you. He blesses you. He loves you. And so we see children are precious to God. And we see that God has a heart, a tender heart for the poor and needy. He loves them and commands his people to love them too. So the Bible leaves us in no doubt that Jesus loves children and cares deeply for the poor. And I think that's one of the things I love about our partnership together with Anew and Compassion, is that we get to do both those things at once, right? We get to do what Jesus said, to let the little children come to him, and we get to care for the vulnerable and the poor and the orphan and the widow at the same time. And we're so thankful for those of you who sponsor children. Thank you for sponsoring them, for loving them, for writing to them. You'll see as you talk to these guys afterwards, it means so much if you can write to your sponsor kids as well. So please continue to do that. That would be amazing. But you might also be thinking tonight you'd like to sponsor another child, or for the first time sponsor a child. We've got profiles of the kids up the back. This is Nathania. She lives at home with mum and dad, and both her parents are unemployed at the moment, and you imagine how much of a struggle that is for them. And she's from Monado, where your church partners. So we'd love you to come and connect with those children, and you can easily just fill out the form, scan the QR code, fill out the form. So back to God's word, back to what Jesus said. What's important to God? What's important to him? Well, it's not being a super brainiac and getting lots of awards at the school awards night, which I'm really thankful for. It's not, you know, winning all the medals at sport or being wealthy and having great things. Those things don't matter to God. Jesus shows us that the children are important to him, that they're precious to him. He teaches us that we are supposed to have that same loving heart, that tender heart toward the poor and needy that he has. And as his children, that we will do what he calls us to, that we will live that pure and faultless religion, that we will look after orphans and widows in their distress, and as we bring the good news of the gospel. So I'm going to pray that that we will be able to do that together, continue to do that and do that even more, to love and care for kids and help bring them the good news of Jesus and care for them. So let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you that you love all people and you love kids, that they're precious to you, that children are precious to you. Lord, in our society, we often see that children are not as important to us and to our world as they are to you. Lord, we pray that we will continue to bless children with loving and caring for them and helping them come to know Jesus. We thank you for the kids' ministry and the youth ministry here at church. Lord, please continue to bless that. We pray that all the children here will know your incredible love for them and that they will put their trust in Jesus too and walk with him. Lord, I really pray for your blessing on the leaders of the kids' church. Lord, please raise up more and more leaders for that very important ministry. And we're so thankful for them. And Lord, we're also really thankful for our partnership with Compassion as we get to love and care for kids around the world. And Father, we pray that our hearts will look like your heart, that we will love kids and we will be generous and loving and caring toward the poor and needy. We thank you, Father, that you've called us to do that, and we pray that it'll be for your glory and for our benefit as we walk according to your ways. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.